The following message was given by Brother Aaron Yankowski and Brother Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 16th, 2017. The title of the message is Rainbow, a Common Phenomenon with an Uncommon Designation. Scripture verses are Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 through 17, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 21, verse 18 to 20, Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 to 29, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11.
Thank you for your speaking out of your word. Oh, we need your speaking today. You're speaking to give us life. You're speaking to shine on us. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to us today.
Amen. Sí, Señor, necesitamos hablar esta mañana. Abrimos nuestro corazón a ti. Abre nuestros oídos. Oh, que tu palabra se escriba en nuestros corazones. Oh, Señor Jesús. Gracias por tu palabra.
Amen. Lord, we praise you this morning. Amen. Praise you for your word. Amen. Thank you, your word is spirit and life.
Amen.
This morning we need more spirit and we need more life.
Amen.
We praise you and thank you.
Amen.
Thank you we can be here.
Amen.
We are here for you.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your heart desire.
Amen.
To make you so good to us.
Amen.
This morning we pray you are the spirit anointing, the speaking brother.
Amen.
All the set here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, this week we're on the message related to the rainbow. But before going on to that, I just wanted to say something further about the message related to the man on the throne that we covered a couple of weeks ago. Well, Philippians 2, 8 through 11, I'll just read those or try to recite those to you, say, concerning the Lord, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These verses point out that as a man, the Lord Jesus lived a life in complete obedience unto God. And because he lived such a life, God exalted him to the highest place in the universe. Well, as such, the Lord is our forerunner. His plan is not only that he would be on the throne of authority, but that man would share the throne of authority together with him. So Revelation 3:21 says, "He who overcomes, to him I will give to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." So this is the kind of life we should live today, is one under authority of the heavens in complete submission to God the Father, just as our Lord Jesus, who according to the book of Hebrews, is our forerunner, is our pioneer. Well, one aspect of the Lord's living under God's authority is seen in Matthew chapter 8. And there is a story of the centurion who had a slave who was sick, and he went to the Lord and implored him to heal him. Well, it's interesting, the centurion there made an observation. He saw that the Lord was a man living under authority. So it was apparent to the centurion. And he realized that his living under authority was the Lord's source of authority. Meaning that when we live a life under the authority of God, we have an amount of authority. This authority is expressed not only in the church life, even to some degree in our work life and in our family life. So, brothers and sisters, if you live a life under the authority of God, you too will have some amount of authority. But I would like to ask, what is the function of that authority? What is it for? Well, one aspect of it that I'd like to bring your attention to this morning is the story in Numbers chapter 17. And there's so much to say about this. We could spend a lot of time on it, but just a couple aspects I want to point out to you. That's that in that chapter, there is a question regarding God's deputy authority. It was called into question. Some people weren't happy. Well, to skip over a number of the details that are important, but not to the main point for this morning, the way that authority was vindicated is that a dead piece of wood was placed in close proximity to the ark, and when it was retrieved in the morning, that dead piece of wood was now living. Not only was it living, it had budded, it had blossomed, and it had produced almonds. What does this mean? This means that authority is for producing food. The authority produced almonds. This means that if we're a person who lives under authority, the purpose of that authority is to provide others with spiritual food.
That's right.
Also implies that the degree to which I live under the authority of God is the degree to which I can provide others with food. So, in one sense, it is important that when we come up here and we stand before the saints, we do a good job. But in another sense, that's not the most important thing. Even if I come up and I do a mediocre job and I'm not that well prepared, or maybe I get nervous, if I'm a person who lives under God's authority, the brothers and sisters will still receive spiritual nourishment. The converse is also true. If I'm not that much living under God's authority, and if I sound really good, give you something that makes you feel warm and fuzzy, make you laugh, very eloquent, but I'm not a person living under God's authority, you might walk away laughing, but later it will be like cotton candy. You won't receive that much nourishment. Well, brothers and sisters, don't you want to be a person who can provide spiritual food to others? I know I want to be. This depends on how much we live in obedience to God. I want to live this kind of life, don't you?
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's all I'd like to say about that message, but I think this is important for the church life. It's important for the brothers and sisters that when someone's going through something, we can provide them with something to eat of the Lord. A lot of times, this is what we need. We may have a lot of problems, but in reality, we just need to enjoy the Lord. And if we're living under authority, we'll be able to help the saints in such a way. Amen. Well, the message title from this week is The Rainbow, the Consummation of the Experience of the Christian Life and the Church Life. So really to have an impression of the rainbow, I think the best thing to do is really consider Genesis chapter 6 through 9. Well, in Genesis chapter 6, God's enemy had corrupted man to the point that it says that God's heart was grieved. Even says that God repented of making man. And so God made a decision to destroy, it says actually, to blot out the man who he had created. We know, of course, Noah found grace in the sight of Jehovah. That's a wonderful point, but that's not my main point, but that's very good. But even though Noah found grace in God's sight, God still followed through with his decision to judge man and judge the earth. And so for 40 days and for 40 nights, it rained. And it says that all flesh expired. And then after 150 days, the waters began to recede. And eventually the waters dried up, and Noah and his family, which consisted of his wife, his sons, and his sons' wives, they emerged from the ark. I'd like just to take a moment and consider. I have a little hard time completely identifying with Noah, but I think I could probably identify with his sons or with his sons' wives. He had God's direct speaking. He was kind of a miraculous or amazing person. But you consider from the perspective of his sons or his sons' wives, you'd probably be very thankful that you knew Noah, and by your indirect or direct relationship with him, you're a recipient of God's salvation at that time. But one thing we might overlook is that it probably, to see everything that you ever knew destroyed and swallowed up by the waters of God's judgment, probably was terrifying, and it probably was traumatizing. You think, after you emerged from the ark, trying to carry out a normal life, every time you saw a rain cloud, you might wonder if the judgment was going to come again. And it could even overtake you with fear to some degree, at least anxiety. Even to the point that it's possible Noah's sons and his sons' wives could have had the thought, is it even worth continuing my human life? Is it even worth it to have a family to fulfill God's purpose if it's possible that all of it could be swallowed up again in God's judgment? Well, I believe it's for this reason that God brought in his covenant. He brought in his covenant that man would be assured. So I'd just like to take a little bit of time and read to you the verses related to God's judgment and his covenant from Genesis chapter 9, and I'll read verses 8 through 15. And I think the brothers have these verses. You can follow along with my reading. So Genesis 9, 8 through 15. Then God spoke to Noah. And of course, I'll just orient you. This is after they had emerged from the ark, after Noah had built an altar and sacrificed to God. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And I myself now establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living animal that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every animal of the earth with you, of all that came out of the ark, every animal of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, that never again will all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living animal that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign for a covenant between me and the earth. And when I bring the clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living animal of all flesh, and never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all flesh." Amen. Maybe we could read verses 9, 13 through 15 together. Let's read 13 through 15 together. "I set
my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And when I bring the clouds over the earth, and the bow will be seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living animal of all flesh."
Amen. Amen. So, saints, what is the rainbow? The rainbow is a sign of God's faithfulness in keeping his covenant. Aren't you happy? And aren't you thankful? There's a sign that God has spared us. Praise the Lord for the rainbow. Well, you know, furthermore, in Revelation, this is a book that has much to do with God's carrying out of his judgment. In chapter 4, verse 3, we see the throne of God. And around the throne of God, there's a rainbow. And this shows that even as God is carrying out his judgment on the earth, he will still remember his covenant with man. And in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, Christ, as the center of God's administration, as a strong angel, he has the rainbow on his head, showing that as he is executing God's judgment, he will still do that within the confines of God's covenant. So, brothers and sisters, this is the rainbow. The rainbow is a sign of the covenant that God made with man. So this is one aspect of the rainbow, but another one is to consider the colors of the rainbow. And one way to consider the colors of the rainbow is that it's comprised of three primary colors, and then the other colors sort of come out from that. Well, those three colors are blue, red, and yellow. And it's worthwhile to consider what those colors mean based on our study of the scriptures. Well, blue, we know, signifies God's righteousness because his throne is a sapphire. And sapphire is the color blue. From Psalm 89:14, we know that the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. Well, red signifies fire. And this shows God's holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, this verse says, "For our God is also a consuming fire." Well, if you look at the whole context of the book of Hebrews, what the author is saying there is God in his sanctifying work is in distinction from the unholy things of Judaism. So red and fire signify God in his holiness. And finally, yellow, from the study of metallurgy and the electrum in Ezekiel 1, this most likely shows something of God's glory. And so the rainbow actually shows three of the top virtues, or rather top attributes of God from the scriptures: God's righteousness, God's holiness, and God's glory. Well, it's interesting if you look in Genesis chapter 3, when man was expelled after the fall from the garden. And the way that God kept man from the garden and from the tree of life is seen in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. And I'll read that verse to you. It says, "So he drove man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." So consider, there's kind of two, sort of three items that God presents there to keep man from contacting God as the tree of life. Well, what is the cherubim? We know from the cherubim, from the scriptures, represent God's glory. It's called the cherubim of glory. The flame, again, shows God's holiness. And the sword for killing shows God's righteousness. So again, we see these attributes of righteousness, holiness, and glory. And it's these three attributes that God has to keep fallen sinners from contacting him. Well, it's very interesting if you compare this to 1 Corinthians 1:30. This is a wonderful verse. Maybe those of us who know it, we can recite it. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So to you, Christ Jesus is righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. When the Lord was crucified for us, he fulfilled God's requirements. God's requirements upon all fallen sinners of righteousness, holiness, and glory were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus when he died on the cross. Also in his resurrection, He has become these virtues and attributes to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Him who did not know sin, he became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 1:16 says, Because it is written, Because I am holy, you also shall be holy. Finally, Colossians 1:27 says, That Christ in us is the hope of glory. Well, brothers and sisters, Christ has become these items to us, and in this sense, he is even making us these items. These items actually, to some degree, you could say comprise Christ's image. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So actually, in this sense, you could say in this sense, we too are becoming the rainbow. And this is kind of substantiated by Ezekiel chapter 1, where it starts with a blowing wind from the north and it consummates with a rainbow. And in Revelation chapter 21, the expression of the New Jerusalem is as a rainbow. So brothers and sisters, in the next age, God will have his full expression of the rainbow, the faithful God who keeps his covenant through his people. But actually, this expression should not wait till the next age. It should actually be expressed today in the church life. When people see us, they should see an expression of holiness. They should see an expression of righteousness. They should even see an expression of glory. Well, I think I could say a little bit more in terms of applying this. You know, you consider the matter of holiness. And how much is holiness is expressed in my daily living? Well, certainly, we partake of the Lord's holiness by spending time with him in prayer, by spending time with him in his word, by being together with the brothers and sisters in the church life. Something of holiness is absolutely deposited into us. And I'd say for the most part, this is absolutely a positive pursuit. But on the other hand, there are some things on the negative side that can impact our holiness. You know, I think I've mentioned to you before, I'm a subscriber, my wife and I, and I'm not promoting Amazon, but I'm a subscriber to Amazon Prime, and it has a lot of really great benefits. So if we want to order things for our children, order things for the household, you just press the button, and it gets sent to you pretty quickly. They have warehouses in New York City, so it arrives quick. But they also have Amazon Prime Video. And there's a lot of things you can watch for free. All kinds of movies, all kinds of TV shows. And I see some smiles telling me probably some of you are aware of this. Well, sometimes we need some recreation. And maybe we watch some TV or we watch a movie. And I wouldn't say necessarily there's anything too bad about that. However, I have some experience where I want some recreation and I watch too much. And I think the Lord sets a limit and I go beyond that limit. And that certainly impacts the expression of God's holiness in our living, in my living. I'd say my experience several times has been when I go too far, seeking after recreation, especially of this sort, impacts my ability to serve in the church life. When there's not the holiness in our being and in our living, it's not so easy to sense the Lord's anointing. And if we don't have the anointing, our service in the church life has very limited impact, I'd say. Well, anyways, brothers and sisters, righteousness and holiness and glory, these are the expression of the rainbow. And this expression should be today in the church life, and it will be even expressed through God's people in eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
My life had become very boring after I came to the church life. Before, in a colorful world, everywhere you want to go, you want to do a lot of things. But come to the church life. Praise the Lord. Everything becomes so simple. So simple. We are people of simplicity. We are people of singleness. And our brother just opening up on this topic, rainbow. This topic is very difficult. It's imaginary in a sense. Now, how do you really relate with a rainbow? We are not the Irish people. You're chasing a pot of gold by the end of the rainbow. We're not playing that kind of games. Yet, it takes in a very significant position in the Bible. Our brother just mentioned in Genesis 9, that's where the first time the rainbow was used. Before that, I don't believe there's no rainbow in the sky after rain or some mist or something. Recently, I spent a lot of time searching out single rainbow, double rainbow, a third rainbow, a full circle rainbow. I mean, even the plane, when it flies in a certain altitude, it creates rainbow as well. I have pictures, and if you want to see, I'll show you later. Okay. So the rainbow is a simple phenomenon of scattering of light. Because it's just, we're not going to get into the physics. But it's not complicated at all. In any sunny day, you get a glass of, a transparent glass of water. You can create your own rainbow. I'm not going to show you, okay? I did that. It works. You can create your own rainbow. So it's a simple natural phenomenon. Yet, our Lord used all kinds of common things which he created to tell us who he is, what kind of a God is our God is, what his heart desire is, and what he wants to carry out in us. So today we're talking about common things with uncommon designations. So with this rainbow, it's the same thing. So the first time when we talk about rainbow in Genesis, the key word jumps out. There are two parties there. One is God himself. The other party is a family. Just went through such a really tremendous human experience. Not only the whole land, all flesh perished. Also, the in-laws of Noah's all perished. All their relatives, other than Noah and his wife, the three sons and their three wives, and a lot of animals remained. Just imagine that process they went through, not only making the ark, not only seeing those animals marching in pairs, coming to the ark. By the way, that's the second time the animals marched to human beings. The first time is to Adam, right? The second time is in Noah days, in the middle of nowhere. So I'm so happy God did not give Noah such a job. Go chase the chicken. Go right after the dog. Go catch the lions. Praise the Lord. All those things came to Noah. Brothers and sisters, imagine that picture. In the middle of nowhere, this family is herding all different animals, prepared for 120 years. People mocking them, laughing at them, have nothing better to do. All their relatives, all their in-laws. Yet, they've been laboring for something which totally meaningless to the rest. Yet in their heart, they followed God's desire. Of course, when the rain come, 40 days and 40 nights, following the 150 days, and so on, until July 17th, until July 17th, when the ark was landed on the Mount of Ararat. When they opened up, they see no one else. Imagine. I don't think Noah and his sons would become so pleased. The son would say, Dad, we own the whole earth. Son, we are the greatest landlord of this land. No. I don't know what kind of emotions running through their mind. So when God conversed with them, our brother mentioned a lot of emotions running through. What if? When? How? Where? What if the cloud covers us again? So God said, I will make a covenant. God made a covenant between him and Noah and all the living things. That covenant, there's a reality in the New Testament. Am I right? In Matthew 26, we saw a new covenant between our Lord and his people. So in Genesis 9, there's a covenant set between God and Noah. He promised, said, I will not to destroy the earth, all the living things with the water again. He did not say he won't use other means. He said, not destroy with the water again. Brothers and sisters, if you see this picture, our God had a promise, but he has to sign the paperwork. So this sign was very good. This sign is a double meaning. One is a sign in the sky. Do you see that rainbow? When you see that rainbow, that's a sign of my covenant. That's equal. Our Lord signed in a contract. That sign in a contract. With the children, we can use color pencils to draw a rainbow. And we can cross the fingers and say, make a promise, right? Our God said, I will sign. Our sign with a sign in the sky. Our Lord signed his contract with a cup of his blood. He said, here, we just enjoyed it. This is the covenant. Brothers and sisters, this rainbow in the sky, first of all, is the sign of our God made a covenant with Noah and himself. I know that time is short always. I want to read a few points with this sign. First of all, this rainbow, our Lord used this rainbow after the judgment. After a judgment and after a type of death and a resurrection in Noah and his family. So the ark, on one hand, is the salvation. Saved Noah and his family. Saved all the living things through water. So many times when we encourage people to get baptized, we will use the example of Noah and the flood, or use crossing the Red Sea. Now here, through the death and the resurrection of that process, Noah and his family and all the living things received the salvation. And how do you make sure the salvation is not lost? The salvation is not going to cut off. Our God made a sign in the sky. The rainbow show up in the sky. We all can see. In Genesis, God also said, when we have this rainbow, he did not say, you look at the rainbow. But he said, I will look at the rainbow. Our God said, I will look up at the rainbow. And the rainbow will remind me that I have signed a covenant, a contract with you and all the living things. Brothers and sisters, I want to make this really deep impression into you. In Genesis 9, our God, he executed the judgment. He saved Noah and his family. He let the flood come, let the flood go. He was the one sovereignly arranged everything. And he was the one to show the Noah's family, look at the rainbow, rest in peace, because this is the sign that I will set between myself and you and your family and all the living things. This is the sign, brothers and sisters, is a sign of the salvation has been accomplished. Everything he has done. So the second point is he set this government, a covenant between himself and all the generations to come. It's all the generations to come. The third is the sign of the covenant as a bowl in the clouds. And our brother just quoted Revelation 10. In Revelation 10:1, remember there's a verse, there's an angel who was clothed in cloud, right? Okay, I saw another strong angel coming down out of the heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. And the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Brothers and sisters, if you remember the man on the throne in Ezekiel 1 from 26, you see there is a man on the throne. And then we know this is our Lord. Our Lord, he is the one who carry out the reality of the rainbow. He fulfilled, he realized the covenant between our God and the chosen ones like us. So praise the Lord. We are the ones who have the covenant in our hand, in our spirit. And now we have his life, and we have his son who went through all the steps, all the processes to become that covenant between God and us. So he is the propitiation sacrifice. He is the propitiation seat. He is the peacemaker, and he is the one who accomplished all of the peace between God and man. The fourth is the covenant is everlasting. God promised this covenant, there is no time limit for this contract. In human beings, every contract has a time limit. I mean, at least the limit is until you pass away, something will be executed. No, this covenant is everlasting. It's a perpetual through generations. The fifth one is this son. This is a son. It is also expression of God's glory. Brother Aaron also mentioned this expression of his righteousness, his holiness, and his glory. So brothers and sisters, when we see our Lord Jesus, we know he is the righteousness. He is the holiness. He is the glory of our Father God. So when we enjoy the table this morning, not only we are here to praise our Lord, we give all the glory to him, because he was the one who carried out all the requirements to execute that covenant. So brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament, from this rainbow, from Genesis to Ezekiel, we want to really to see this is a promise from our God. Amen. Executed by our Lord. Ezekiel 1 is a very inclusive chapter. It's inclusive to a point. It included the whole Bible. So when we see that rainbow, we should see from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. So it is inclusive of the whole Bible. So I want to express this much in the Old Testament. I want to move on. In the New Testament, I also choose 5 points. It's not meant to be inclusive, just meant to be parallel with the Old Testament. Our Lord, through his death as the Son of Man, on the cross, he judged through his death, his vicarious and inclusive death, all negative things have been judged through the judgment of our Lord as a totality of sins on behalf of all, albeit human beings and other living things. All has been judged. The Bible said, one died for all. There's one died for all, and all has died. Our Lord was the one who suffered the judgment. Yet through his judgment, and all negative things has been judged. Okay, in the Old Testament was judged. Here, through our Lord, all negative things have been judged. Of course, he was not only dead. On the third day, he resurrected. He resurrected. We resurrected with him through his death and resurrection. That's 1 Peter 1:3. And we were regenerated in his resurrection. So praise the Lord. So that's the first point I want to see. I want to say. The second, before he was arrested, before he was judged, before he was crucified, and he was the one who arranged the Lord's table. We just enjoyed. And I didn't know, I did not prepare to share this until this morning. And this morning, I went to visit our brother before the meeting. And just on the way, driving back from Downton House to where I live, and this point really come to my mind. I said, Lord, how I praise you for what you've been doing through one person, and you're blessing the whole church. The Lord reminded me, yes, through me too, I'm blessing the whole body and everybody else, everyone in it. So brothers and sisters, this is a point really shine on me. I said, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for what you're doing and for what you have been doing and for what you will do in your church. When our Lord, when he broke that bread, he gave it to the disciples, said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Brothers and sisters, when our Lord grew up, when all the disciples grew up, to enjoy the Passover dinner is an annual feast. It's an annual enjoyment. They do it every year. So everybody is familiar with the procedures. Enjoying the bread, drinking wine, eat a lamb, eat the bitter herb, and so on. Just like the rainbow in the sky. When the shows in the sky is a very common thing. When it goes through our Lord, it become a covenant. The same piece of bread, when it's on the table of any household, is a common bread. When our Lord broke it, said, eat, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Brothers and sisters, the meaning of this bread totally changed. On one hand, is a type. On the other hand, it is the body of our Lord. And also it is the body yet to be built of the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, our Lord, when he handed over the bread, said, take and eat. And then he took the cup, said, take and drink. This is my blood poured out as a covenant for you. Brothers and sisters, this morning I had a different appreciation for the Lord's table because of this rainbow, because this covenant, because this sign. Our Lord signed a contract, everlasting contract with us. Our Lord, his body broken, his blood poured out, is for us, for every one of us who is going through the death and the resurrection process. For the past 41 days, the last Lord's Day our brother was here was on March 5th. That's exactly 41 days ago. 42 days ago. Actually, counting the days is 42 days ago. Praise the Lord for the number 42. That's a comforting after all the tribulations. Praise the Lord. Our Lord, okay, let me move on. Time is running out again. The third point, he charged the disciples to keep this table, to keep this Lord's table as a remembrance of him. Our God charged the Nova. So every time you see the rainbow, it's a remembrance, it's a sign, remind you, I, God himself, I am watching. I'm watching my covenant. I'm watching my execution of my covenant. I'm watching over you. The same thing. Our Lord said, you do this. And our Lord is in the midst of our enjoying his table. This is the covenant, not only as a remembrance, but as a participation, as an enjoyment, as a fellowship of what our Lord set with us, for us, in his name. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, don't miss any Lord's Day meeting. Don't make any excuses to skip a Lord's table meeting. And we have so many saints, and this hall, we always about a half filled. We have about, right now, we moved some chairs. We removed some chairs. We have about 475 chairs in this hall. I count the chairs regularly, so I know when I scan, I can roughly know how many saints are sitting here. I don't have to ask the brothers to count the cups anymore. My estimation is always within 5%. We need to fill the hall. Brothers and sisters, invite those saints who have not meeting with us for so long. Come back to the covenant. Come back to the invitation. Our God is watching. Our Lord is participating. This is his table. This is his covenant. We are the people of a covenant. We are the people of eating and drinking with our Lord Jesus. Amen. The fourth point. Our Lord charged us to do this until until he comes back, until he enjoys the cup with us in the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, this is a perpetual covenant. This is a perpetual, lasting covenant until the realization of his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Our Lord really charged us to continue this burden. The fifth point, of course, in this week's message, with a full realization and in the New Jerusalem. Of course, we know in the Old Testament, with the breastplate of the high priest, there are 12 gems. And the New Jerusalem, even though it's still a sign and a type, the 12 gems as the foundation of New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to expound on that. But we need to realize our God redeemed us, choose and redeem us, transform us so we can be his full expression. Brothers and sisters, for this New Testament, I had many, many more verses on the word of light. This light is not trying to be opposite to weightiness, but it's a light of the real light. Because in John 1, we know our Lord said, he is the true light, and he is the light. In the book of John and the 1 John, he used it many times that our God is light. In 1 John 1, said God is light. In the Gospel of John, our Lord mentioned many times, I am the light of the world. I am the true light. Brothers and sisters, the rainbow is only an expression of the light. The rainbow is a showing of our God's promise has been realized, recorded, signed, carried out. And today when we see it, when we enjoy it, we know it's true. Who is the reality of that rainbow? Is our Lord Jesus himself. Who is that rainbow being applied, expressed in us? Is his church, is his children. Brothers and sisters, today we are the true rainbow people. Today, some really immoral things going on. They use this rainbow to show so-called diversity, cultural diversity, this diversity, that diversity, even used for those so-called LGBT, those things. Brothers and sisters, that's a mockery to the covenant of our God. This rainbow as a sign is a sign of holiness, is a sign of glory, is a sign of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, we need to bear in our mind, we are not a people making those kind of jokes. We are the people need to express this righteousness, this holiness, and this glory. And in Philippians 2, said that we should be the luminaries to shine forth the word of life. The word of life is our Lord himself. The light is in the word. The word is life and spirit. And brothers and sisters, we need to see the light is in the word. May we really begin to truly enjoy what's in the Bible, what the Lord is trying to tell us, and also to be the shining people, to express the true light, to let the true light to shine forth through us in this dark and perverted age, so we can be the full expression of this righteous, holy, and a glorious God. Brothers and sisters, I want to stop here because I think want to finish here, and then even though we can carry on, yeah, prophesying session, and there are a lot to check. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to check on the word light, particularly in the New Testament, and a lot of footnotes related with the light. You really will see it has a relationship with the covenant, because that covenant is a reflection, expression of the true light. And today, the righteous, holy, and glorious God is dwelling in us through his Son, in his Spirit, in our spirit. Now today, we need to be the luminaries to let that true light shine through us. Let people to see us. We are the people with a covenant. We are the covenant people to express our triune God. Let his glory to shine forth in the church life. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just quickly, announcement. As a clerk of the corporation, I remind the saints this Tuesday, 9 p.m., will be a special business meeting to approve the purchase of the property and 1557 Colden Avenue in the Bronx. We encourage the brothers and sisters to come, because otherwise the Attorney General might question who is approving this. So please remember, Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And now we will have the mics so that you can share what you have enjoyed. And those who go to language meetings will do so. You have a hint?
We do have a hint, yes. So we have a
new hymn that the brothers are going to post. It was actually written by the brother who gave this message at the training. It's on the rainbow. And it's to the tune of hymn number 43. Abba, Father, we approach. That one. Yeah. Amen. I think we need a piano player. Any volunteers? Our piano player departed. There we are. Amen. Thank you, sister.